Well, it's bread making week in the Great British Bake Off. I'm sure you're all watching it. I am. We had to record the last two, but we watched them in one hit last night. Great stuff, isn't it? And the remaining nervous contestants are going to have to work really hard to show their skills at making bread before two master bakers, Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood. And they both give that look, don't they? Give that look. And especially as he's going around and watching them in the process of making the bread. And he said, do you think that's going to work? And he just looks at them. And then they get a bit nervous and they carry on anyway. They're actually very, very good bakers, apparently, already. But as they both continue to say, the master bakers, that is, it's all about the proving. It's all in the proving and how you prepare bread. Now, I'm not a bread maker, so I have no idea how this works. But some of you I know are and know exactly what to do. And it's very interesting to see some of the results and to watch on and think, well, I wouldn't have done it that way, but of course I don't do it at all. I just pop down to Asda or some other baker anyway. But there's other things that count in bread making too. It's not just the proving, but too rough a handling, and it upsets the structure of the bread apparently. And if you don't leave it long enough to prove, the cell structure is not... It's an extraordinary science, isn't it, really? I suppose that's why they used to call it domestic science at one point. It is a science. In today's reading, we hear about Jesus, who is the living bread, the one to whom we all need to come to be truly fed. Because the bread that we eat and we take into our bodies day by day actually sustains us for a little while, but then we need some more. We always need a bit more of that type of bread. But Jesus is talking about himself as being the one who is the bread of life, the one who will give us life and who will sustain us until our lives end and through unto eternity. And Jesus says very clearly about this, he who feeds on this bread will live forever. That's the promise. He who feeds on this bread will live forever. What an extraordinary promise that is. And part of our role and responsibility, both as Christians and witnesses in the community, is to enable that to begin to happen within us so that it can also happen amongst those with whom we share our lives. And that's a really crucial part of being a Christian too. And Jesus wants to make bread out of us. And so that takes a bit of kneading sometimes and a bit of proving. We need to go into that drawer to be alone with Jesus and to ensure that we spend some time with him around his word, allowing it to permeate through us and to shape us and to form us and to correct us and to rebuke us and to challenge us. And all of those things will enable us to be the type of bread that he can use. And if we don't allow that to happen, then of course things begin to go wrong. It doesn't come out well in the bake and we need to get sorted along the way. But he's a very patient baker, unlike Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood. But he does work on us, and that is an important process that we need to be aware that is going on all the time. And just as Jesus was taken and broken and was made bread of in that particular way and broken for the world in which we live, so he will take us and break us too and use us to his purposes and for his purposes and for his will and for his glory. And sometimes we won't like what that looks like, but that's not part of the deal. He takes us and he wants to shape us and to become what he wants us to be. And that will feel uncomfortable and challenging at times. And yet we need very much to listen to what he has to say. For he is the type of bread that gives us life. Life-sustaining bread from a life-sustaining Saviour. And we need him so very, very much. And then, of course, he wants us to become, as he begins to make us into the bread that will work for him, he wants to make us into bread for others, so that they will get a glimpse of what they need to give their lives to also. Because they need to feed on the living bread. And as witnesses, the type of bread that we become will make a difference, hopefully, in the world in which we live. Now, as I say, we don't get to choose the type of bread that we're going to be, whether it's platted or, you know, wholemeal or whatever it is. We don't get that choice. He does the work. He gives us the ingredients, and he begins to work on us and to change us and to shape us. But nevertheless, he has a role for us, which is really crucial in the process of becoming bread for him and bread for others too. And I think Paul gives an indication of how this may look practically for Christians, certainly in the first century in Ephesus, and generally speaking. So if you want to look at it with me again, please do. It's on page 1176, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, and verses 15 onwards. And he's talking about various processes that are going on here, I think, and you can only take certain analogies so far, but we'll have a look and see how this works for this particular passage. So it's chapter 5, 15 onwards. And Paul is talking about, be very careful how you live. And I think this is a message for us all. How you live, both within the Christian community, but beyond. And I think the beyond bit is really important. Because sometimes, and Jackie and I have been very, very aware of this, one can get so immersed in church life that you can lose contact with what the rest of the world is doing. And we do need to be aware that we are in the world, and we're meant to be, actually, working in the world, sharing the good news, and being a witness to all that Jesus means to us. So he says, in that instance, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And for that process, and in that process, we will need to spend some time with Jesus. A good bit of time in the proving drawer, spending time praying and around his word. So that when we do go out into the world, hopefully they will get the fragrance of Jesus from us, who is the living bread within us. That's the idea. That's the way it hopefully might work. And then in verse 16, Paul says, making every opportunity, and making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Well, they always have been, of course, and we're in a process here, which is moving towards the second coming of our Lord, but we don't know when that's going to be. But we do need to be light and peace and hope in a world which is not that. In a world which is very dark and difficult, actually. We are supposed to be bringing good news and hope to a world which is struggling to find its way, and always has been. But the good news is in Christ, who is the living bread. And we are being made bread for him to be in the world in which we live. So he gives some instructions. Therefore, he says in verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. That's really difficult, isn't it? Understanding what the Lord's will is for your life. Trying to get a grasp of what it is that we're meant to be and to do for him. We don't move along blindly. We seek his will, and he gives us an impression of a direction that we're meant to take. But the first step is to take it. We've got to go where he says. And we're going to make mistakes. That's the glorious thing about life, isn't it? We can make mistakes. We need to just get on with things, and it's okay, so long as we're willing to say sorry and we've done it wrong again. But actually to take a step in some direction so that we can begin to work out his will and purpose for us and for his church and for the world in which we live. But do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So we need to try and find a way of discerning what that is. And in a way, there's no other way than actually settling down together and as individuals and praying about it. Each day I get on my phone an app, which is from UCB. It's a reading for the day. UCB. And you can get it in booklet form too. But it's a little word for the day, and it's very short and sweet. But it nearly always, in fact always, hits home. And whether you do it that way, through an app on your phone or reading the Bible, you need to engage with God's word to find his will and purpose. Because we need to find what that is. And there is a will and purpose for me as an individual. And there's a will and purpose for you as individuals. And there's a will and purpose for his church. We need to find out what that is and trust, and then make a step in the right direction. So at this point, we're out of the proving drawer. We're beginning to go for the We're in the long distance now. We're going to do the job for our Lord. He does give other instructions, verse 8, don't get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And that's really crucial, isn't it? This is part of the ingredients of the Christian life, being filled with the Spirit of God. And the only way to do that is to spend time in the Father's presence. Not beating yourself up when you haven't done everything according to the law, because we don't live by the law, we live by the Spirit. But trying at least to spend time with Him and being honest with Him when we say, well, actually, sorry, we haven't spoken today. Because it's easy to get through part of the day and you're in and the day has begun. You haven't begun with Jesus. But we need to be filled with the Spirit of God and ask Him to fill us afresh each and every day, because we do leak. Spiritually we leak, and we need to be refilled day after day. And then he talks about the community of faith. Okay, so we've talked about being in the world as witnesses. We talked about ourselves as individuals seeking His will and purpose for our lives. And now he's talking about the community of faith. Verse 19, speak to one another. Here with psalms, with hymns, and with spiritual songs. Now that's not something we're given to do very often, but we are getting to that point, I hope, where we feel that we can share something that the Lord has given us. That's why every so often we do have testimonies and stories here. Life-changing stories where God has met with us and we have met with God. And He's led us on in a different direction. And that's really important. We need to know that God, God's word isn't just tied to the written word. He's continued to be in us as the living word. And we need to hear those stories. Speak to one another with psalms from Scripture. So when you receive a word, perhaps from your daily reading, it's very good to share that with each other if it's really excited you. Maybe somebody else needs to hear it too. And just to say, I read this today. I've read this passage umpteen times and I've missed it, but this is spoken to me today. And allow it to speak to you also. Hymns, you may not have a great singing voice, but anyway, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay, I guess we're doing that today corporately. We're singing to one another and to God with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then on your own, have a worship life with God too. He is your Heavenly Father. And each day, just to come into His presence and say, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you for the air that I breathe today, for the people around me, my family and my friends, for this beautiful creation, and for all that you are to me, the bread of life. Thank you for what you're doing in my life and for what you want me to become. Because the Lord wishes only the best for us. It may not feel like that at times, but that's what He wants. And He wants to develop us into the children of God that He intends us to be. So sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. It should bring a little smile to the face when you think of Jesus and our Lord, who has loved us and does love us so very, very much. And then in verse 20 he talks about, and these are all the ingredients that we need to draw on the bread of life. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that we're giving thanks to God for everything He has done. We don't always wish to give thanks to God for the circumstances we find ourselves in. But what we give thanks to God for is the fact that He is present, whatever those circumstances may be. And He is with us in and through all of those things. And we do this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, always. Giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. And it's very easy to slip out of that routine as well and to forget that we should give thanks to God for everything that's happening and going on around us in our lives, because He is a part of who we are and we are a part of who He is. He is the living bread, and He's wanting to make bread out of us that will make a difference in the world, so that we can be bread for other people and serve them in different ways, so that they can find the living bread for themselves. Because that's the only way to the Father, through the living bread, who brings life to the people of God. So let's spend some time. We're going to spend some time in a moment in quiet before the Lord. But this week, just find a bit of time to be with him. Allow him to prove you if you need to be proved a bit more. I do all the time. Allow him to work on you and to knead you and to change you and direct you and form you and shape you. But allow yourselves also that precious moment with him when you hear those words, I love you so very much, because he does. He loves us with a Father's love. And we need to draw upon that also. Jesus said, he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Let's be still for a moment.